The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you are to eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wild flowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear?' All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." The Gospel of the Lord. Not too long ago, a gentleman contacted the parish and asked if I would go see him in a nursing home. And when I received the man's name on a little 3x5 card, I thought I recognized it, but I couldn't remember from where or when. I made my way to the nursing home, and sure enough, it was a guy I'd seen about 8 months to a year beforehand. And when I saw him at that time, he had just been diagnosed with cancer. And he was so confident, he was so certain he was going to beat it. He was this big, tough guy. And he had lived a very rough life. He was a biker. He was part of a gang of bikers. And when I was talking to him on that occasion, invoking the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, I was able to convince him to prepare himself for eternal life. That just in case he wasn't going to recover, that he made a good confession and got his soul right with God. And so he said, "Okay, Father." He made a confession of his whole life. He's probably about 60 years old. He hadn't been to church since his early teenage years and lived a rough life. So I went to see him again recently, and I walked into his room, and he immediately started crying. This big, tough biker. And he said, "Father, I'm so afraid." He said, "I'm not going to live." The doctor said, "Maybe I have 6 more months. They've tried everything that they can do." He said, "Father, am I really ready? Is heaven real?" And we talked about the beauties of heaven, and we talked about repentance. And about half an hour later, as I was leaving his room, he was totally at peace. And I'm walking out, and he said, "Father, God bless you." I said, "God bless you too." And I got to the door, and I'm turning, and he said, "Father, I love you." And I went back in, I said, "What did you say?" He said, "I love you, Father." And I said, "I love you too." And we promised to pray for one another. When I read about St. Aloysius Gonzaga today, I thought how differently he approached his death. There was not an ounce or trace of fear. There was excitement. He could not wait to pass from this life. And I thought, gosh, why would that be? And then I read today's gospel and it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And I thought, of course. Right? His heart's first desire was heaven. And so when he was being called home to heaven, he couldn't wait. And our Lord says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and everything will be taken care of." And yes, on some level that means materially, right? Our Lord's going to provide for us. But even more on an emotional, a psychological level, right? Someone whose first heart's desire is heaven, They can see everything through the lens of eternal life. So no matter what befalls them in this life, they think, okay, Lord, you have a reason, you have a plan, right? You're purifying me, you're preparing me. And so when St. Aloysius Gonzaga contracted this disease, the plague, and he had little time left to live, he couldn't wait. And I want to close with this. He wrote a letter to his mom, his last letter, and it was in response to a letter that she had written to him. He says this to his mom. Your letter found me lingering still in this region of the dead. But now I must rouse myself to make my way on to heaven. At last to finally be with God and to praise Him in the land of the living. Indeed, I had hoped that before this time, my journey here would have ended. Now here's a 23-year-old knowing that he's going to die. Anyone, I mean, even someone who's older, you're clinging to life. He said, I was hoping I would not still be here. And he encourages his mom. He says, most honored lady, take care above all things not to insult God's boundless goodness. You would certainly do this if you mourned as dead one living face to face with God, one whose prayers can bring you more support than ever that could have happened during his life on earth. And lastly, his closing words to his mom. I write all this with one desire, that you and all my family consider my departure a joy and a favor, and that you especially may speed with a mother's blessing my passage across the waters till I reach the shore which all hopes belong to. Let us ask St. Aloysius Gonzaga that our heart's first desire might also be to seek first the kingdom of God.